time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Holy shnikes, we're back for another week. I want to start out with this. My Instagram algorithm is amazing. I get the funniest videos ever on there. And they're so random, from dog and cat videos to worship fails to just the most random stuff that I find hilarious. It could be anything, but it's funny. And most of it pretty appropriate that I could send to anybody, you know. But it's funny, like, I have groups of people that I text with, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect for this group. This is it. And I send, so it's fun times, good stuff. But what I get on there, which I can't stop watching, which is apparently why they keep putting it in my feed, is cringy musicians who, I can't tell if they're satire or real people, you know, thinking they're blowing up and getting famous. But so there's a few of them that I absolutely know they think are amazing, and they continue to post videos and content, and you can see in their eyes that it's like, it's happening for me. They're on their way to stardom. They're excited, and they're just, you know, this is their full-time job now, is to continually, like, make content and market their music. Air quotes. Unfortunately, they don't have the actual real talent, and everyone is pretty much just watching to make fun of them, right? So I read the comments, and although they are, a lot of them are funny, a lot of them are also, you know, truly terrible, mean, and hurtful. And I have to think, or I have to question, are the few good comments that are, like, sprinkled in there? You have to look for the good comments, by the way. The you know, the keep it ups or the fire emojis, which is also a joke that they don't really get. Or you're getting better, something like that. Are those words of encouragement fueling these people, making them, you know, press on? Because it has to be. I went through my real feed, you know, like, to just see how many of these musicians there are that I continually see, and there's 8 of them that consistently provide content to my algorithm. Some of them are straight up bad, terrible, right? But others are not, they're bad, but not, like, blatantly humiliating, but still also not good, if you can understand what I'm thinking. And I always think, when I see these reels or whatever, if someone likes their own music, you know, they're passionate about it, they want to share it with the world, good for them. And even if people start to make fun of them, who cares? You do you, right? Like, this is your thing. You could put, who's to say you can't, right? I'm part of that camp at one point. But then I also start thinking, what if I was scrolling through one of these, or my reels, and I come up to with the cringe one, and it was one of my girls, one of my daughters posted something, you know, what if she posted something, and it was just like, I saw the same thing that from these cringy artists, just something that wasn't that good that people were making fun of, but she's getting a lot of attention for, right? What would I do in that situation? Because I don't want to be the one to break that news to them. I want to be as encouraging to them as I possibly can, as their parent who loves them. I don't want to be like, hey, you know that thing that you love, that dream that you have to you know, to be a famous singer or whatever? It's never going to happen. You don't have it to do it. It's just, you should focus on something else. That's terrible. I would never want to do that. Now, luckily, both of my girls, very talented, have great voices. They also have the ability to see if someone were to be making fun of them, I'm sure. So I don't have to worry about that. But now, at least, I'm seeing the other side of this real dilemma, these artists as a parent, right? There's actually a guy, I'm not going to name his name, because I feel bad for him at the same time, but I see all the time what he puts on there, and you can just see everything in him in his eyes and everything. He is 1,000% bought into this is my career. He believes he's on the rise. He does videos all the time talking to people. He comments in the, like, he'll just say things in the comments. He offers to do cameos for people. He does contests where, like, I'm going to randomly pick somebody who comments and you can have a phone call with me. Like, he's like this big celebrity. It's really weird. And I'm just like afraid for those calls. Like, what are they going to say to him? Because I see what people are saying in the comments for sure. But this dude seems to be completely delusional, and absolutely I have to think that his parents are like, when he talks about it, because I'm sure he lives at home, this kid, right? But I'm sure his parents are like, are you sure that these videos, these are people that are fans of yours, that they like what you're doing? And he's like, absolutely. And they're like, I don't, because they're in the back of their mind, they're like, I've heard you sing, you're not good, bro, you're pretty terrible, you have a lisp, you can't speak right. It's like a weird thing, and I feel bad because I feel like this kid has got a good heart. He wants to do, this is like his dream, and it's just, he's being met with a lot of hurtful negative comments and all that. And I'm just like, oof. But what really brought this whole topic up for me is a country duo called Landmaw. And I see their snippets on a daily basis, particularly of one song that they have. And it's like they'll put like 10 seconds out of the song or whatever. And it's called Country to the Bone. Like I said, every day I see another Country to the Bone video come up. And here's what I'm going to say about it. The song is not terrible. If you like, you know, the manufactured, stale Nashville country sound songwriting, you know, thing that seems to be popular right now. But at the same time, it's way cornier than that as well. It's really hard to explain. Here's a good description. It's like the most stereotypical country music humanly possible, where you're like, this can't be real, right? Like almost humorous, but not. That's kind of what I'm saying. Now, these two guys, number one, aren't the best singers, but they are also aren't the worst, right? They try hard, and let's say if you were at a karaoke night and they went up, they'd be fine, right? You'd have fun with them, good time. These guys, at the same time, if you're at that karaoke night and you saw them go up and sing, you'd be like, you wouldn't say these guys are the next country superstars, you know, not by a long shot. You wouldn't say that. And if you go to one of their videos and you read the comments on really any video that they have, it's brutal. There's some mean, ignorant, use your imagination. Like that's what they get. Although there is some funny ones. Like, you know, there's a famous group, Brooks and Dunn. People be like, oh, it's Brooks and Don't, you know, or there's Florida Georgia Line, and they'll be like, Florida, Georgia, don't cross the line. You know, like there's some good ones in there. That's what you go for. The creative ones that are still kind of making fun, right? But, and then there's totally a lot of Brokeback Mountain comments and things of that nature. But give them credit. They are undeterred by the negativity. Now, I think in thinking about this whole genre, I guess I'll call it, of these cringy artists or whatever, like I feel like I know how it's working with the Instagram reel, TikTok, YouTube short thing. So they do these snippets because everybody, all these eight artists that I see in normal, they'll do, you know, 10 second clips of their songs, including this, you know, not so great Instagram duo, and you listen to them, and when you listen to it, you know, you form your opinion. Either you like it, not probable, or you're like, wow, right? And then you go to the comments to see what people are saying, because you know there's going to be some funny ones, right? Why else would you be there in the comments? So the more you read the comments and you get sucked into that, the more the song repeats, because the reel will just repeat after it finishes, right? And so then the more you're reading the comments, the more the song repeats, the more plays they get racked up. So now you have some sort of distorted version of being popular, you know, or having a hit song. And I could see someone thinking that. And I can see the justification that these artists might have in seeing the numbers, but also the hateful comments. So let's say you, one of these guys, let's just say this Landlog guy, like this duo, they release a video and it gets, let's say 10,000 plays because it's an easy number to deal with. And then you look at the number of comments and say they have 300 comments and most of them are haters and they're negative, mean stuff. But the rationale is probably that, well, yeah, we had these 300 people that commented these hateful things, but we also had 9,700 people who liked it because there was 10,000 views and there's 300 and say they view it once, you know, and they make their comment. So we have 9,700 views of people who like it. That's not true, though. It's not at all. Because take me, for instance, I don't care for their music at all. But I do read the comments on almost all their videos to see if there's any more funny and creative ones. As I read the comments, the song might repeat 4 or 5 times before I move on to something else. So out of those 10,000 streams, there's maybe 1,800 people that just, you know, are letting it play so they can read the comments for a good 5 times. And those 1,800 people will make the streams go up to 9,000. If it, you know, if it, like I said, it repeats 5 times, as I do, right? So that's like a skewed version of what's happening. But their views get, I mean, they have way more views than 10,000 and way more comments than 300. I was just trying to make a good comparison. Now, here's where it gets interesting in my mind. This band in particular, Landlaw, recently, they got really blown up popularity wise because 2 Sports Center anchors in the morning mimicked one of their videos for Country to the Bone, and that brought a whole bunch more eyes to the band. And then it became like this viral thing for other people to copy this Country to the Bone video and make their own, you know, Country to the Bone parody. But these guys, I think, really believe they are, you know, good country artists. And by the way, they could be the best guys ever. I'm not saying anything personally about them. You know, I think they're probably nice guys, whatever. So I don't want you to think that. But I'm trying to show you how things can, you can be deceived by all this. So then next thing I know, I see them talking about how they're going to have a show at some bar in Nashville. They're going to be doing a live performance. And I'm just like, in Nashville? Like, Nashville is famous for having the best musicians everywhere. Like, everywhere you go, someone is fantastic. They're amazing singers, guitar players, drummers, but you name it, they're the best of the best there. Like, trust me, I've spent tons of time in Nashville, and it's something. And I used to do once a year, I would go to Nashville for the Summer NAMM thing, and there's performances that you can sign up for as, you know, if you're coming to NAMM or you're whatever. And I was like, this is the worst place that you want to perform because your audience is nothing but the tippy top 5% of the music industry musicians. And they're just going to be judging you hard. And I'm just like, these guys going and doing a show in Nashville were surrounded by people who know country music and know good music and musicianship. Like, I'm afraid what's going to happen. So anyways, I find out they did the show at the bar in Nashville, and it was an acoustic performance, you know, and I only saw one video from that performance, and of course it was Country to the Bone. Maybe that's the only song they ever play. I don't know. I wasn't there. And there was, you know, like 70, 100 people there, whatever, and a lot of them were singing along with that song because they know the words from the TikTok reels or the Instagram, all that stuff. And but again, it's in a joking, because they're like shouting it out because it's become like a viral thing. And you can see one of the dudes looks at the camera as he's playing guitar, and he is smiling, cheesing it up. He was feeling it. And I'm sure this had to make him think, you know, we're making it. We made it. Packed house, crowd singing along. Time to take this show on the road, boys. And then I saw you know, a couple days later, they're like, we're going to go on tour, full band rehearsal today. And they, again, little snippet, country to the bone. And so they're planning this tour. And I'm just like, how does this end for them? And also being in Nashville, how do you find musicians willing to be your backing band that they have to know you're not very good? But then again, there's so many musicians and not enough work that they're probably like, hey, you're paying me, I'll do it. And by the way, this duo puts money into their videos. They have a for real video for Country to the Bone. You can go to YouTube. And it is like professional. They've done like, it looks beautiful. So I'll give them credit. With they got great marketing, some money to put into it and all that. It's just the talent wise is just a little under. But then I'm thinking, at what point does reality really set in for them when they're out on tour? When they find out people are more making fun of them. And I think the best case scenario is they fully embrace it and pretend at least that they're in on the joke the whole time. And I don't know, go from there. I know that Corey Feldman's done that, even though he pretends that he's in on the joke. Like recently he did this guitar solo, which was an atrocity. Everybody made fun of it. And then he was like, of course I can't play it. He thinks he was, though. Like, trust me, he thinks he's on the same level as Michael Jackson, but now he's pretending that he's in on the joke to kind of save face. So is that what these guys are going to do? Or are they going to eventually just feel down or like clowns, you know, when they finally see that people are laughing at them rather than with them? I don't know. I would hope at a minimum that all these streams that they've gotten from all these videos have been monetized at some point. So then at least they make enough money to, hopefully it just helps them when they realize, you know, what's really going on. It's yikes, right? Go check them out, Wayne Country to the Bone. You won't be disappointed. Or maybe you will, I don't know. So what does this have to do with the devotional today? That's a good question. I did have a devotional written today on punishment and how we're to look at, you know, God's discipline. But I felt like that doesn't seem to be like what God wants me to talk about today. Doesn't quite fit the opening topic very well. So I decided we're going to talk about something along these lines. Being an outspoken Christian in 2025. Meaning, how are we to live our lives in public and on social media as a Christian, specifically the social media part? Because there's definitely pitfalls, and we as Christians are also can be sometimes like these cringy artists. We can get blinded by, you know, the streams or the likes and the comments from what we post and all that. So let's get started with this from Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. So when we're on social media, which has become, you know, undeniably a part of our daily lives in 2025, these platforms are more influential than ever, and they shape our public opinion, and they often drive cultural movements and even influence the, you know, the political world. And as Christians in this digital world, it presents us both opportunities, but it also gives us some challenges. And we can use our online presence for good, you know, to share the love of Christ, stand for justice, and voice our faith. But we also have to be cautious, because it's easy to get caught up in, you know, the noise of the worldly noise, react impulsively or be swayed by, you know, the latest trends and thoughts. You could say that. How do we as believers navigate social media in 2025? How can we remain faithful to Christ's calling while engaging with the world online? I think that's a good question. And I want to explore how to be outspoken Christians online and also the pitfalls that we need to watch out for. So, like I said earlier, number one should be, don't be blinded by the streams or likes. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world for anything or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Now, before we really get into this, I'm talking to myself just as much as all of you guys when I give these this devotional. This isn't just for you all that are listening, especially on this one particular topic here. The rush of getting a lot of likes and comments and views and shares can be intoxicating if you're, you know, somebody who posts stuff a lot or whatever. And it's tempting to measure your success on how much engagement, you know, the post or video that you put out get. But as Christians, we need to remind ourselves that the approval of man is temporary or not real, not that important. What's truly important is God's approval. Just because something gets a lot of attention doesn't mean it aligns with God's will or serving his purpose. So we should be cautious of being driven by popularity or validation on social media. Instead, we have to ask ourselves, is this post reflecting God's truth and love, or am I just seeking approval? The world might celebrate certain trends or opinions or posts, but we have to, you know, we have to stand firm in truth of the gospel regardless of the feedback that we receive. And I mentioned how I'm talking to myself just as much as you, because often I look at the views and streams and downloads from this podcast, and sometimes I'm surprised, you know, in a good way, and other times I'm pretty disappointed, because this podcast I put out on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, those are the big ones, and then a bunch of other sites, you know, where you can download podcasts and all that stuff. But the big ones that you really want to engage, you want a lot of engagement in for popularity, is obviously YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you look at my YouTube streams, they are terrible, like minimal at best. And the Spotify play streams are not great, and the Apple Podcasts are pretty lousy as well. My Facebook streams are inconsistent at best, and just overall through all my platforms, let's say here's how crazy it can be. One week I can get, you know, 20,000 views, streams, downloads across all the platforms. Then the next week I could get 500. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, look on my Facebook. If you're on Facebook right now, the streams, like the last couple weeks, I've gotten 200 and some views. The 2 weeks before that, 4,000 and 6,000. Like, what is it? I'm not getting any traction, and that can, like, it bothers me, but it shouldn't. The point is, I can't let a number stand in the way of my happiness or define my success. That a number next to a video or a post or whatever should not define success. And if I think about in general the way God sees things and his church, right? If there is a church somewhere in the world of 25, 50 people, and the pastor is doing the best he can, he's teaching the word of God, he is solid theologically and just trying, you know, like making disciples, God is pleased with him. He's doing the work right. And that doesn't mean a church of 10,000 is doing a better job because they have 10,000 people. That church of 10,000 could be making no disciples. It could be preaching the wrong thing. So the number has nothing to do with it. It's honoring God and doing what he wants us to. Now, I know you might be like, "Hey, Pastor Adam, have you ever listened to your own podcast? You say some crazy things." I know that, but I try to relate to people and share the gospel and give you a good message, you know. I don't know. That's where I'm sitting on this. Moving on to number two. And I think this gets a lot of people in trouble, by the way. And number two is, be careful with political and social justice views. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." This social media world that we live in is often, you know, a battleground for politics and social justice issues, especially nowadays. As Christians, we're called to be salt and light. But how do we engage in these conversations without getting caught up in the heat of the moment? Because that's real hard. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I see so many Christians go after others with their political ideology, and even though they may be right in what they're saying, it makes me cringe because it's like the wrong way to go about it. So first, we always have to approach these discussions with wisdom. We need to ensure that our words are seasoned with grace, mercy, and understanding. Our ultimate allegiance is not to a political party, which seems like a lot of people's allegiance to the political party is a lot higher than their allegiance to God, or a social movement. But our allegiance should be to the kingdom of God. While it's important to stand for justice, for sure, we should never compromise the truth of God's word. Because if we think about social media, it always amplifies the loudest voices, but God's voice often is still and small. Seek his wisdom in every discussion. And we also need to be cautious of being swept up by popular opinions. Many movements, specifically like in social justice, may align with biblical principles, but others may not. And it's important to discern whether the cause aligns with God's heart and whether we're advocating a solution that it may not be biblically grounded. Right? Keep that in mind. Number three, speak truth, but speak it in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speaking the truth in love will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." One of the most important things that we can do as Christians online is speak the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. However, we must never lose sight of how we say it. The tone we use matters. Even though if you're typing something online, tone can be, you know, misconstrued of what you're actually saying. Perhaps even more, we should consider the content of our message. In a world where online conversations often turn hostile quickly, Christians, we should lead with love. When we speak out on an issue, whether it's faith, morality, social justice, let's do it with humility and kindness. If we're called to challenge others, let it be with the intention of restoring, not condemning. And most people, when they go into an argument on whatever platform you're on, it's going to condemn somebody. Let's be more concerned with how our words affect the listener's heart than how many people like or share our post. Right? That's pretty good advice there. Number four, guard against division and anger. Proverbs says it best in 29:11. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." The social media world is easy to get caught up in arguments and heated debates. Everyone has an opinion, and often those opinions are expressed very loudly. As Christians, we're called to avoid being divisive, even when discussing difficult topics. And we need to engage in a way that doesn't escalate the anger or promote the division, because that doesn't represent Christ's love. And we need to remember that the online world can exaggerate our feelings. A post that may feel like a small comment to us can inflame someone's anger or lead to some other misunderstanding. Responding in the heat of the moment rarely leads to productive dialogue. And if we feel ourselves getting upset or tempted to lash out, it's wise to take a step back, maybe pray for some wisdom. So let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That sounds familiar. That's from James 1:19. Now, that is hard. I know it. Me, even though I can get really worked up and ticked off about things that I see online. I mean, at one point in the early stages of my podcast, one of my friends, Chris, said that I should rename it like what I'm angry about this week that I saw online. But anyways, I find it easier most days to just ignore the nonsense. I'll see some political post that angers me, irritates me, frustrates me, whatever. Even if there's a, you know, a big glaring piece of information missing from what they're saying, I just have to ignore it. Because is there anything I'm going to post in response? Is there any comment that I can make that's going to make them say, you know what, that is a great point. Let me take this down, or let me edit it and change it to reflect the actual truth here. That's not reality. That's not going to happen. No, it's just going to start more arguments and comments, and it's going to have other people join in, and it's a whole thing that happens. And then you get even more angry and more frustrated, and it's just a nightmare. I want to give you an example. I commented, this was a few years ago, on a post about abortion, right? There was somebody who made some ignorant comment as the main post, right, about abortion, something I completely disagree with, whatever. And I had no intention of commenting. And then I was reading some of the comments to see if anybody had any good, you know, like made good points back to them. And I saw this mother talk about how she had gotten pregnant at a young age, was being kind of like forced to have an abortion by her boyfriend, family, all that kind of stuff. But it didn't sit with her. She had a background in Christianity and faith, and she just felt like it was wrong. And so she refused to go through with it, even though it made her life so much more difficult and complicated and caused division in her family and her relationship, all that stuff, because she just knew that was the right thing to do. And she said it's the best decision she ever made in her life. So I commented on hers, and all I did was encourage her, and I applauded her courage, shared a scripture with her. Right? I wasn't talking to anyone but her. And my comment got lit up by hundreds of people, and I was called so many terrible things. And one person actually said, I was what's wrong with the world today. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know I had that much power to make the world terrible all by myself. And even though I wanted so badly to come back and just battle these people, because there's multiple people, there's hundreds of people that were coming for me, the best thing I could do was nothing at all. Because what if I engage with these people, with these online trolls, and someone sees my comments, me going back and forth with them, and maybe they didn't appreciate some things that I said, whatever. They're like, oh, that's a pastor? Right. That's why I don't go to church. These are the kind of people. Like, it's just, there's a no-win in this situation here. So you have to think about all these aspects of what you do on social media and how you're going to be viewed as a Christian. And that's something a lot of people, I don't think they do. Which leads me to my next point. Number 5, avoid the temptation to conform to the world. Here's a classic scripture from Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans 12:2. It's easy to be influenced by the popular culture, especially in social media. Memes, viral trends, and challenges can kind of sometimes lead us away from our Christian values in the name of good old fun, right? The world consistently bombards us with messages that obviously conflict with God's word, and it can be tempting to blend in, can't it? As Christians, we're called to be distinct. we're not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This transformation doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentionality, regular time in God's word, commitment to living according to his values, even when it's unpopular. I know you've heard all this before. And I've seen people who I thought were solid Christians get wrapped up in some weird, twisted ideology and that are now spewing like bizarre spiritual nonsense all over social media. And you're like, what? What happened to this person? Because they get influenced by all sorts of worldly takes and ideas. It's crazy, but I've seen it happen. So in all these cases, we have to, number six, pray for discernment. James 1:5. I'm going to throw the KJV version at you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let's ask God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. As Christians engaging with social media, we need to be in constant prayer for discernment. The digital world is full of information. It's full of disinformation, opinions, and ideas that may or may not align with God's truth. So pray for wisdom and how to respond and what to share, when to stay silent. And if we don't have God's discernment, we can easily fall into, you know, sin and error or be misled. And it's not even, I think you need discernment for everything that you see on social media, because every time I see something on social media, I'm like, is this real? Even if it's something that I really like, something I really hate, I'm like, it's a roll of the dice, what's real and what's not. So you have to do some research and whatever just to try to find some sort of shred of truth. So it's crazy. So being an outspoken Christian in 2025, especially in the digital age, the social media world we live in, isn't just about sharing our beliefs, but reflecting Christ in all our interactions. The way we communicate online should be a direct reflection of the love, grace, and truth that we receive from God. So when we engage in conversations or try to tackle controversial topics or stand for justice, let's be careful not to conform to this world's standards, but to stay grounded in God's word. So that's what I have for you today. I know it took a turn. We talked about some crazy stuff that I saw on crazy musicians, cringy, and then how we're supposed to live our lives out on social media. So, all right, you guys have a good one, and I will hopefully see you next Wednesday.